All right, we are back on the JoeBucksFan.com radio network. I'm Steve Isbitz alongside Lee DeCamper, and we are JoeBucksFan.com, your home for Bucks Talk 24-7, sometimes a little bit more than that. And now we're joined, as always, by our ultimate analyst, Steve White, former Buccaneers defensive end, 6 years under Tony Dungy before he took off for the Jets. We don't forgive you for that, Steve.
Hey, I got to go where the money is.
Hey.
Gangrene.
It's all about the money.
Always.
And, since you took off all those years ago, is Raheem going to take off after next year? What does he have to do to keep his job?
Yeah, I wish I knew. If I knew that, I would also go out and play the lotto tonight. I understand it's up to $170 million. So I really don't know. You know, you kind of had to wonder at the end of this year if they were going to give him another chance. And everybody was kind of looking around, seeing if they were going to go after a Bill Cowher or somebody like that. Now, I think the situation is even more muddled. I mean, let's say he goes out and he wins 6 games, which is an improvement. I mean, it's doubling the win record. Is that good enough? What about the impending lockout? I mean, are you going to sign a Bill Cowher to his big deal and you know it's not going to be in the football for 2011? Or is it easy just to keep Raheem around? And then when football starts back, whenever that is, you know, then go and look for the big name guy. It's just so many questions out there right now.
6 wins might get him his job back, but it's not going to make anybody happy.
Well, obviously it's not going to make anybody happy. Here's the thing, Steve, about Raheem, and I guess it's more in the finances and X's and O's. Are you going to pay for a coach? Let's say there's a lockout. Are you going to pay for a coach to twiddle your thumbs? And if you're going to do that, maybe Raheem is going to stick around. Obviously, he's going to be cheaper than Cowher or, you know, some celebrity coach such as that. So, I mean, there's a couple factors. But with Raheem, when he got rid of the coordinators, obviously, this is coming from a player's perspective, you clearly. What does that do to the team? Does it really depend? Is the team like, what are you doing, man? Or is it, about time you got rid of this imbecile?
Well, it's hard to say. But here's the thing, though. Sometimes it could be a situation where everybody thinks this is just chaos. I don't understand what's going on. But you have to remember something. Those players were around both of those coordinators, too. Mm-hmm. And obviously, Jack Kaczynski didn't really get a whole lot of time to show what he could do as a coordinator just the preseason. And so maybe guys were more willing to give him a second chance. But as I understand it, the defensive players pretty much let out a cheer when they heard that Jim Bates was defrocked last year. So I think there were kind of two different situations during the season. I think that canning Jim Bates was met with a lot more enthusiasm than maybe letting go of the offense coordinator.
But then, and there again, you know, the defense has Raheem's back, you know, just reinforcing what you said. You know, they were kind of like, oh, this is a relief that Bates got bounced. And so the defense is going to have his back. Maybe, you know, the enthusiasm seeps through a little bit in the offense, even though offense might be frustrated for whatever reason. And they see the defense really have Raheem's back. Maybe they're like, well, okay, we'll keep the guy around.
Well, you know, having played ball, not at the NFL level, but, you know, when you're 0 in the world and you give the fire the defensive coach, it's an built-in excuse for those players to sort of celebrate and be like, hey, man, let's pile on Jim Bates, man. He sucks. You know, this system, you know. You think there was some of that going on? Like, hey, maybe they respected him, but they sort of, you know, it was just a convenient way to just, you know, embrace a new start.
No, his scheme sucked. And I said that pretty much all year. There's nothing personal against Jim Bates. His scheme just sucked for the personnel that we had. And I know people say, well, we should have given him another year to get the players in here to run his system. I think people who say that don't really have a clue how many different players we have to bring in just to be successful in that scheme.
Half a dozen guys, right?
Minimum? At least 12. Mm-hmm. And we only have 11 starters on defense, mm-hmm, so that should tell you something.
Yeah, but this is what scares me about Raheem and keeping his job, is that, okay, you know, most head coaches come in, and it's, okay, what players are we going to get for that head coach? Who are we going to bring in to run Raheem's system? And I get the feeling that Raheem has almost no say or very little say in who the players are coming in. We're not going after free agents. Sure, he's got a say in the draft, but is he going to get a real chance to build a team like most coaches do to get some of their guys? Look what's going on in Detroit right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to back up something Steve just said. Why would you go through all this effort to get all these players for Raheem or Jim Bates, and then they're going to be gone next year. So all that work you've done to develop these players, to find these players, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and it's all for naught.
Well, obviously on the offensive side of the ball, that really wouldn't apply because, you know, you're running basically offensive system that has been here since 2002. But on the defensive side, you have to understand something. When I say his scheme sucked, what I mean is it really sucked bad, and nobody else runs that scheme anymore.
Outdated.
So it's very outdated, and if you draft a guy to quote-unquote fit into Raheem's scheme, then more than likely whoever comes in here, if somebody comes in here to replace him, they'll fit right into their scheme too. It's just that nobody, you know who runs Jim Bates' scheme? Nebraska.
So. Steve, having said all that, do you think Raheem Morris hired Jim Bates?
You know what? I try my best to stay away from speculating about stuff like that. But then you go back and you read the articles from last year, from after the time when Raheem was hired, and you look at the names of the people who were thrown out there as offensive and defense coordinators. Jim Bates is nowhere to be found. And you have to think, well, maybe somebody higher up, whoever it may be, felt like, okay, we got this young coach, he's dynamic, but he probably needs a little bit more seasoning. We'll pair him with an older defensive coordinator who's been around the block a little bit, been around the league, got a pretty good reputation, and maybe he can grow a little bit as a head coach, having this guy, you know, kind of be his stand-in or assistant head coach almost. And so I'm not sure that he hired Jim Bates. I hate to try to, you know, speculate about that, but it did seem like an odd hire at the time, if you ask me.
You got all politician on me, man. That was pretty good.
Hey,
that was pretty good.
Middle of the road,
I don't know. I don't know what he said. He didn't answer the question. Oh man, yeah. It is nuts when you think about it. When you really take the whole season into perspective, Lee, and Raheem Morris is defensive coach. They bring him in, and then they bring in this other guy from almost out of nowhere, even though, yeah, he was, you know, allegedly buddies with the Bates family and Jeremy Bates and all that. Maybe they had Thanksgiving one year, who knows? But, you know, to bring this guy in and run something totally counter to what they're doing without the horses to do it, I agree with Steve, and I'm just going to say it obviously came from somewhere up. Why would he do that?
Well, first off, his base was brutal beyond words. His defense was such a sieve. I thought it was the French army, the way the blitzkrieg of the German Wehrmacht ran through them. I mean, it was just horrible. I mean, let's be honest here. They set a record. I mean, the Bucks, before Steve came to the Bucks had some just downright awful teams. Brutal isn't the proper word. This team set a record for the most games in a row giving up 25 or more points. And then when you look, I mean, the secondary is dang good, with the exception of Savvy the Goat. I mean, you got Rondé, you know, everybody, oh, Rondé can't play this defense. Rondé stepped up and he showed he's the pro that he is. Talib, really, really talented. When Tanard Jackson came by, as Derek Brooks said, Tanard's a budding superstar. They had talent back there, and they were getting roasted like a backyard picnic in July.
I just got to come out and say it. If he doesn't get, he's got to get 6 wins minimum. 7 wins is probably going to give him a little comfort level. But the fans, just strictly on the fans and the pressure that's going to be on the Glazers, if Raheem does not get 6 wins next year, I don't see how you justify it. Going from 3 years to 5, 3 wins to 5, how are you going to sell tickets? How are they going to, you know, put energy into the franchise? Like, unless the games are so tight and they look so good, I just don't see it. How many wins, Lee?
Oh, well, you figure it has to be 6. But the interesting thing about that, Gil Brandt, who I touched base with down at Media Day at the Super Bowl, you know, ex-Cowboys executive, I asked him very much the same thing. How many wins is it going to take for Raheem to save his job? Right away, he told me, what's the attendance going to be like? And I'm like, wow, that's kind of interesting. Right out of his mouth, what's the attendance going to be like? So to me, that says, you know, it's going to be dollars and cents. If the attendance is there, they're going to give Raheem some time. But the interesting thing is, let's say the attendance is not there. Let's say Raheem gets 5 wins and they keep him. That's one heck of a vote of confidence from the Glazers. I don't expect it, but I'm just saying that's one heck of a vote of confidence.
And I think the other side of the coin that you have to pay attention to, too, is not just about wins. It's about when they happen. If we start the season off well, you know, we win 3 out of 4 or something like that, then I think the attendance is going to come because people are going to say, well, maybe he does know what he's doing. And even if we fall off after that, then people are still coming. But if you start off you know, 1-4, 0-3. I think he's doomed.
Yeah, the you know, when you're looking at 3-7, you know, yeah, you finish out, you know, 6-10, big deal. I mean, I agree that that makes a huge difference, but you know, he's going to have such pressure on the guy. And you know, people read, you know, the great readers out there right now on JoeBucksFan.com. A lot of times people think we have an agenda that we root against the team, you know, and they're, everybody, you know, I get all those ugly hate mail emails, you know, not even all the comments on there. And the bottom line is, you know, we're pulling for Raheem, but we like Raheem. What's not to like? You know, bring that. I mean, there's plenty not to like. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
But but as a fan, I mean, you go into every season with that hope, with that energy. And but I think the reality is the guy has got to win 6-7 games.
Well, you don't hope for the coach to get fired because that means the season's done. You don't hope for that. Nobody does. And by the way, the only agenda I have is to see how many times I get Rachel Watson's picture every day on the blog.
Well, I think for all of us, as much as we support Raheem, more so we support the Bucks, and that's kind of a reflection of supporting the Bucks. If your head coach is getting fired, more than likely things aren't doing too well around town. So I do support Raheem. I have had my issues with him all throughout the season. I felt like he didn't handle some things well or the way I would have liked it for him to have handled them. But by the same token, I want the team to win. And so in order for the team to win, the head coach has to do well. I'm not going to sit up here and, you know, it's like when I was going back and forth with a commenter. I'm not going to sit up here and bet against us to lose. Even if I don't like the head coach, I want us to win. So that's my only agenda.
Yeah, you get after it with those commenters, Steve, man. Guys, some of these people think you're going to do a rip move and a swim move through the computer.
I'm still a little feisty,
you know?
Now. I'm still a little feisty.
All right, well, I think we're pretty well set on 6 wins, but they got to come the right way. All right, JoeBucksFan.com, Radio Network. Of course, we'll be back with you again. Speak the